Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, all seven rounds in heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. The Big Ten is the best at everything, including expansion. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. Buckeye Bob, the only host who has seen their team win the college football playoff. And with me, as always, is AJ. B1G, dream big. Marchese.
Hey, let me know when Ohio State beats Michigan this decade, all right, bud?
Today, we're continuing our 2023 NFL Draft Summer Scouting Series with the Big Ten prospects. You left me speechless. Let's hit it!
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team, let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats. So go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sportsdrink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying to not let the funk out. Well, unfortunately for Scott Frost, Nebraska let the funk out all over the beautiful city of Dublin.
The Emerald Isle. That was maybe the best week zero game I can remember.
It was like the perfect weird week zero game. More week zero games should be in other countries in between like two programs everyone knows, but no one's excited to watch.
Mm-hmm. Helinski played some ball though, Rob.
QB1? Well, he's QB1 for the Big Ten. Yeah. As we dive into the prospects, I'll talk about it. Yeah, I don't know. Scott Frost seems like that was the nail in the coffin. I don't imagine that they're going to bounce back from this, but I mean... Good look for the Big Ten. Good Big Ten game there. Illinois walked over Wyoming.
Yeah. And, conference pride, baby.
I don't know. The new Western Kentucky quarterback was kind of fun. Vanderbilt's back, baby. And North Carolina was able to defeat a Florida A&M team that was lacking like half their roster.
They struggled in the first half, though.
I actually think one of the more interesting things was how bad FAU beat Charlotte.
Yeah, because was Charlotte favorite or very, very close, I believe.
I think so. Like, yeah, close.
Like FAU less than 3 favorite, I think, yeah.
And Charlotte's had this like weird hype about them.
My guy Chris Reynolds.
Yeah, he I think got hurt.
Oh, fuck,
I'm not gonna pretend I watched this game.
Oh, no, I didn't. Either. Let's break it down.
Nikosi Perry. Remember I talked about him?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Was I wrong?
Nope.
Give me your week zero MVP.
Well, sticking on topic, it's got to be Chase Brown.
Canadian Chase Brown.
Mm-hmm.
More on him in a bit. But yeah, no, overall, good good way to ease ourselves back into college football season.
I had like this weird like phenomenon, especially watching a game in a different country that like, and after watching so much preseason NFL, like, the game almost feel like it didn't count, even though it was, like, a real Big Ten game.
It shouldn't have counted.
I don't think so. I think Scott Frost would wish it didn't counted, but...
Amen.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, the week zero MVP was the Wi-Fi going down in the stadium in Dublin.
in my opinion.
Oh yeah, and they got free beer, right?
Yeah, and then apparently they're just like switching to, they ran out of beer and switched to like gin and tonic and stuff. People were like going to the, getting through the line, getting their beers, going to the back of the line.
I mean, makes sense. That's what happens when you send Nebraska Northwestern to play in Dublin in the middle of in late August, and nobody knows who either program is.
Great week zero.
Great week zero. Our week one preview will come tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, why not?
I'm not going to promise it.
Yeah, that's true. Don't promise anything, but.
Yeah. Like, we'll hop on a call and we'll talk week one, AJ. I'm just not promising. Maybe it's just for us.
I think I like that more.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just stop by your place and we'll just talk.
We don't do enough. Yep. We don't do enough stuff that's just for us.
It's so true. Well, it's because we're not friends. We're just co-hosts.
Yeah, yeah. Met you on draft Twitter.
Just, yeah. But hey, the Backyard Brawl's back after 11 years, so that'll be exciting. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. I don't know. It seems like we won't really have the ability. We'll focus on the Saturday games.
It's like, it's not going to be a good football game.
Such a bad day. Caden Slovis versus JT Daniels.
Yeah, fuck. I mean, I'm so excited for it, but it's not going to be good.
All right, let's get out of this. We're stuck.
Yeah, we are.
Let's move on. Well, second last conference of the Summer Scouting Series, but the number one conference in our hearts, the Big Ten. Which has been a powerhouse when it comes to players being drafted the last 3 years. 2020, they had 48. 2021, 44. And 2022, 48. That number's only going up with USC, UCLA, and maybe even Oregon and Washington joining the conference.
How long until the Big Ten breaks 60, baby?
This year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about one thing before we get into detail on these guys. Something I found was, to me, maybe I'm misremembering, but it always has felt like the Big Ten's had at least one elite, like, premier defensive prospect.
Yeah.
A guy who you could see being a top 10 pick.
Not this year.
See being one at minimum, or, like, you're certain will be one, like the Bosa's, Chase Young. This year, yeah, it's kind of lacking a true alpha dog at the top, for lack of a better word. I'm not certain any of these players are going in the first round.
Yeah, I think if I had to bet right now, none of them would be. Like, I mean, I think there's a lot of draftable guys in the defensive group. Mm-hmm. But, like, I get a lot of late day three grades. Like, I'm like, this is a good football player. It's just, like, not exciting. There's, like, a couple guys that got you excited, but that's... Like, I don't know. Like who do you see, like, of this group, who do you see in mock drafts most often in the first round right now? It's probably Joey Porter Jr.
And probably second Zach Harrison somehow.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't think anyone's actually watched Zach Harrison. But anyways, more there later, I guess. And I mean, I don't want to get too into Joey Porter Jr. right now, but, like, not a first round grade for me right now, that's for sure.
No. But I'm with you. I think clearly one of the top three defensive prospects in the Big Ten, and not a guy who I think is a guaranteed first rounder
traits
by any stretch at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodlines, baby.
Yeah, bloodlines.
But this conference is stacked on offense,
which is, like, I feel like for the longevity and the domination of the Big Ten going forward is good news, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is too, it kind of doesn't have a star running back, draft-eligible running back, that is. But it is deep at receiver. It is so deep at offensive line. This offensive line group's incredible. And then, obviously, C.J. Stroud's potential number one pick. So it's kind of checking the vast majority of the boxes on offense. And, I mean, the first three tackles selected could all come from this conference. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, like, they're – I mean – not to jump ahead, but we saw Peter Skoronski on Saturday, and he just kicked Nebraska ass. And that's against a good pass rusher. Not the whole game, but a lot of the game in O'Shea Mathis.
Who's, I would argue, is a clear top 10 defensive prospect in this conference.
Yeah, he is.
And, yeah, Skoronski had no trouble with him. But let's start with the quarterback position. And we'll start with C.J. Stroud, who is, I think, for most people... the number one quarterback in this class right now. And at minimum, the number two. It's Stroud, it's Bryce Young. Those are the two quarterbacks everyone's projecting to go top five, rightfully so. The reason I think C.J. Stroud's the best quarterback in this class...
It's because he goes to Ohio State. Yeah, I know.
It's because he went to Ohio State. He's going to win us a national championship. His ability to process, his ability to layer the ball, his ability to make full field reads... Just the ball placement on the short to intermediate is wonderful. Like, he's almost boring. He's so good. He doesn't have some incredible arm. He has an NFL arm, but he doesn't have a rocket launcher. He can operate well in the pocket moving around, but he's not a big out of structure playmaker. But the way he just operates as a pocket passer and runs Ryan Day's offense, it's just chef's kiss. There's very little to nitpick with him. I struggle to kind of poke holes in his game. I mean, you could say the scheme, like the Ohio State quarterbacks have come out, haven't been amazing. But he is not the same prospect as Justin Fields at all. And I love Justin Fields. And I think Justin Fields is going to be a very good NFL quarterback. But he operates this offense a lot more efficiently than Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have the same...
like top-end traits?
And so you don't have the same kind of home run plays.
Yeah.
He's hitting double after double after double. He's batting 500 where maybe Justin Fields was batting 300 and hitting a couple more home runs, right? Like, I'm a baseball guy, by the way. Stroud is just... It's so effortless. He attacks... He can place the ball perfectly outside shoulder, outside the hashes. He can layer it over the linebacker, over the middle of the field to his tight end or slot receiver down the seam. Like, there is a reason both those Ohio State receivers went in the first round because of their talent, but it really helped having C.J. Stroud. And there's a reason JSN put up those mind-boggling numbers when, I mean, hey, we saw a report. He might not even be a first-round pick. It's because this quarterback here is – just unbelievable.
And obviously that's all coming in his first year as a starter.
Yeah, and like, if you go back, I remember, because obviously I'm a Buckeyes fan, that first game against Minnesota, it was a little up and down. Like, you saw the glimpses, but he was a redshirt freshman. But he just got so much better as the season went on. The Minnesota game, the Oregon game, obviously, that they lost. Like, you could see, this is a redshirt freshman, but... As he kind of got into a rhythm and seemed to fully grasp this offense, the game slowed down for him. You just saw the processing speed up, the ball placement get just so much more precise. And by the end of the year, he's a Heisman contending number one pick potentially. He was just a redshirt freshman.
You putting money down on him to win the Heisman if you had to? Biases aside.
I think I would, because Bryce Young could have the exact same year he had last year, and they just won't give it to him.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just refuse to do two Heismans to anyone that's not Archie Griffin. Rightfully so. I think I would bet on Stroud.
It's probably like this. Like, I agree with that logic, too. Plus, like, Bryce Young, like, obviously he was damn good, but it wasn't like this, like, oh, yeah, you got to pound the table. He's the Heisman Trophy winner season.
No, I think most of us thought Will Anderson should have won it.
Yeah, or Aiden Hutchinson, like me.
And if Will Anderson couldn't win it last year, I don't think he's going to win it this year.
No. Speaking of Aidens, is O'Connell your quarterback too in this group?
Yeah, so Stroud's the clear number one quarterback in this group. He's my number one quarterback in the class.
Yeah.
Aiden O'Connell's my only other draftable in the Big Ten. He's kind of what you look for in a backup NFL quarterback, I think. Like, nothing really jumps off the charts in terms of arm talent or athleticism, but he's got a crisp throwing motion, gets the ball out of his hands really efficiently. He's a very good rhythm thrower, pocket passer type, runs that spread offense pretty well. Can put the ball in conflict kind of more than – that's the thing I want to see him kind of clean up. Sometimes he'll get somewhere late and try to squeeze it in, and that can result in turnovers. He threw three picks against Wisconsin. The second one, the one went off his receiver's hands. The other was like a YOLO ball. And the second one, though, he came back to a curl over the middle late and try to force it in. And, like, he just doesn't have the arm to do that. But he, as, like, a just efficient chunk thrower, he's pretty solid. He's a six-year senior.
Yeah.
So he's a little older. And, yeah, he's lacking the athletic traits. But I think he could be, like, a sixth, seventh round type of player if he has a good year at Purdue. And this Purdue team seems like it should be pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I don't know, like, especially, yeah, like, him coming on so late into his career there, too, I feel like he's a little, like...
He's a former walk-on, too.
Yeah. I don't know, but I think that's going to give him gumption, you know, at the end of... Like, I definitely agree. Exactly. I think he'll be, like, a... It is a plus, especially for, like, a guy who's, like, you know... It's not like you're bringing him in to be your future starter. It's just a backup.
He's a bigger David Blau.
I was about to say, he's going to be on the Lions next year.
like, I kind of... Watching him... I think he kind of is what he is. Like, I think he'll have a better year this year just because he'll be more efficient. But, like, he's not a guy who I see having much of a ceiling, but he's going to be bouncing around the NFL for a while as a backup.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else in this group get you excited? I mean, you got Tagovailoa.
So my next guy is Bazelak at Indiana. And, like, his flashes at Missouri are really interesting.
Yeah.
He's got some, like, kind of big downfield throws every once in a while. He kind of makes some plays out of structure at times, but he's also just so inconsistent. His footwork's a little wonky and his mechanics are a little wonky, but Indiana's such a wild card of a team, just given what we saw from them 2 years ago and then how bad they were last year. So he's, like, someone worth paying attention to, I think. Talia Tagovailoa is really fun, and he has the best wide receiver group in the country, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
But, like, he just doesn't have the arm. I actually put a David Blau comp on him.
That's pretty good. He's fun as hell.
He's a lot more accurate than I was thinking, expecting. They also don't run nearly as many RPOs as I thought. Like, they have a little bit of a real offense going at times, but it's a lot of short stuff. But, yeah his accuracy, like, each level is pretty good. And I have an undraftable on him, but I think he'll have a good year for Maryland.
I think it's hard not to when you got those pass catchers.
Yeah, and, like, Loxley and that coaching staff do a good job kind of not – they don't ask him to do more. Like, they're not asking him to rip the ball down the field. Like, I think they know his arm's not great. He doesn't really have an NFL-caliber arm. That's what is kind of tough with him. I mean, maybe his brother doesn't either, though.
I was about to make the same joke.
The running backs, I feel like the Big Ten tends to have a big clear this guy's a guy, and they do, and his name's Trevion Henderson, and he's not eligible. But there's some fun day three backs in this class. I think the number one guy's Blake Corum.
I think so too. He's good.
He's just, like, he's thicker than I thought he was, because he's explosive. He's got this good kind of short area quickness, but he's got this great open field elusiveness too. He's got a nasty jump cut, but he's kind of compact, 5'8", 210. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Darrell Henderson at Memphis, where he's just chunk run, and he wasn't the full-time guy this past year with Son Haskins, a lot like how Darrell Henderson wasn't the full-time guy. And I'm excited to see him take on the number one role. And for him to kind of take a leap, because I do think he has the ability to potentially be a top 100 guy, but to kind of take that leap from that fourth, fifth round, I think it's pass catching.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him involved more there.
No, yeah, that's fair. And it's just, like, even, like, Haskins was, like, pretty decent at it when they, you know, like, it's true, though. It's like Corum just never got that involved. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think, like, the explosiveness is something to get really excited about. Like you said, he's not, like, a smaller – he's not a small – like, he's short, but he's not that small. He's got good thickness to him. I definitely think the top 100 potential is there.
Yeah, he I know there's a lot of turnover on that Michigan offensive line, but it should still be good.
The second best in the conference, I think.
And I think Corum was banged up down the stretch, right?
Yeah.
And so I think just, like, a full healthy year, he could put up huge numbers with Haskins gone. He's the lead back. He almost ran for 1,000 yards as the number two back last year.
And, like, the only thing is with the pass catching is that Donovan Edwards is so fucking good as a pass catcher. Like,
yeah, he is.
He's really fucking good. I think the best two, the eventual best two backs in this conference aren't draft eligible yet. like you kind of alluded to.
No, definitely.
But Corum's probably the third, so.
Yeah, I think right now of the draft eligible guys, like Corum to me was the clear best bet in this class.
Yeah.
The number two guy, I think Chase Brown's super interesting. We're talking about him off the top. Just kind of, he was on the freaks list. He's this one cut juice back, like so much juice, but surprising contact bounce. He's not the biggest guy, 5'11", 205. Catches the ball pretty well too. Like, he looked good against Wyoming. His first two plays were this big outside run and then this great catch for a touchdown.
They couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him.
And, like, that Illinois offensive line played well, and the team's – he's the heart and soul of that offense, and I think he's going to have a big year, and he's kind of a day three back that could, I think, at minimum be an exciting change of pace
from
run hitter.
I think there's a clear path to him being that type of guy. I like Chase Brown a lot. I wasn't too much on my radar, and then throwing on the game, like, is like, holy fuck, this guy can – play, and then I didn't even know he's Canadian until after too, and then I mean we went to, got to watch his brother in the secondary. Get more on him later, but yeah, I think Chase Brown's clearly the. Well, I mean, I fucking love Mo Ibrahim. I still believe so much, even though the injury. But yeah,
Ibrahim's my third, and the thing with him is like just the injury history.
Yeah,
like, he's a 6 year back, and but
the wear on him, like the way he runs too. It's not.
He's so physical.
I fucking love him, but.
If you're looking for a day three, just like between the tackles, like he'll bite your head off type of runner, that's him.
I think he's good. I totally agree. Sorry to interrupt you, but like, I totally agree. Like, you know, you're not going to take him early. I don't think he's got, you know, high end, like, you know, big time RB1 traits or anything, but like, you're especially not going to take him early because of the injury history. And, but I think like come in and like be a, like you said, just be a fucking animal. You know, you need a tone setter in the backfield. Run him like through his rookie contract, and I don't know how much you're gonna get past. Like, it's so depressing to say, but like you said, older guy with injury history. But I think he's gonna do something in the league.
I just don't know if he's gonna get drafted because I don't think he's a great athlete, and he doesn't do a lot as a pass catcher than the injuries. But he's got like solid vision too. Like, he's a nice like physical one cut type of, like, back.
Well, maybe kind of similar path to Jalen Warren at being the Steelers RB2 now, right?
Jalen Warren's going to be so good, baby.
He is going to be really good. But, like, similar styles,
My Ibrahim comp is from, like, 2 years ago now. Because James, like, he reminds me of James Robinson.
Oh, well, that's an elite comp.
Well, when I made it, it wasn't. One guy who I think's really interesting is Wisconsin's Ches Malusi, who's the backup to Braylon Allen, who's just incredible. And Malusi's a Clemson transfer, and he kind of... He had a good start to the year. Braylon Allen took over, but he was a good number two back. And he has an interesting combination of contact balance and quickness.
He's always had his moments. And then obviously Allen just kind of became the monster that he is.
Yeah. So he's just a guy, I think, he's going to be one of the best number two backs in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, agreed.
Sean Shivers at Indiana is an Auburn transfer. He's a little like Mighty Mouse type guy. He's kind of fun player. They didn't use him a ton at Auburn, but potential like satellite back type option. This Indiana team's gonna be really weird. I already said that, but
well, yeah, they got a bunch of guys in the secondary too.
Yeah. And speaking of transfers, like Jarek Broussard went from Colorado to Michigan State, and he's another kind of undersized back, but he had 2 years ago at Colorado. He's like had them playing way better than they should have been. I don't think he's going to get this Kenneth Walker bump that they're hoping for. But, yeah.
Still a good move for him.
Yeah, the Michigan State team is very interesting, too, just because so many transfers. Jump to receivers?
Yeah. GSN, he's your top guy, I'm going to assume.
Yes.
Does he get the first-round grade in the summer from you?
No.
Do you think he's going to be a first-round pick?
Obviously, we haven't done that. Yes. We haven't done the SEC yet, but right now he's my number two. I have Quentin Johnston ahead of him.
Yeah. I said it last week. If I'm putting money down right now, I think Johnston's going to be the first receiver taken. But, and I think that's going to just, you know, people's eyes are going to open as we get through the fall here. But, I think GSN's clearly one of the top three receivers in this group, maybe number two. Go. Wax poetic. Give it about your guy.
So... He's like predominantly only plays out of the slot.
Yeah.
He doesn't kind of have any one thing he does elite. Like, he's not a burner. He's a smooth route runner, but he's not as dynamic as, like, Chris Olave was as a route runner. He doesn't have that speed Olave had. He doesn't have the yak ability that Garrett Wilson had.
Yeah.
But what he does so well is his spatial awareness, his ability to create space, his ability to find holes in coverages, his ability to work with his quarterback when they're under duress. Like, his coverage recognition is really good. And in terms of, like, the only real thing that he isn't doing at a great, great level is, like, he's just not a great yak player right now. I like to see him do more after the catch. And that offense does a really good job of just getting him the ball on money downs. He's great on third down. He always works himself open. I wonder what his ceiling is. But also, is this just the Justin Jefferson at LSU conversation again? Remember, he's predominantly a slot because they had Jamar Chase, they had Terrace Marshall. And then it turns out, he can play on the outside too. He's pretty damn good at it. JSN does. My comp, and then this is minus the yak ability, but like it Cooper Kupp-y in terms of a little bit smaller and not as good after the catch, but just everything is like a B+. He does everything at a B+ level. And when you do everything at a B+ level, that makes you a kind of a star in the NFL.
That's a good point. Do you think they're going to ask him to line up outside more often this year or no?
I don't think so, because one, they like it worked pretty well with him just playing the slot, and two, they've recruited so well at receiver. The outside receivers are going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. and Julian Fleming, who was Fleming was the number one recruit like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. No, I think that's a good take, and I don't know. Like a lot of people want to anoint him as wide receiver one, but like all of that, I totally agree with you. But all of that points to a guy that's going in that Justin Jefferson to late first round range. That's not that height, weight, speed monster. You know what I mean?
I will say, just in terms of, we haven't got to Keyshawn Boutte with LSU yet, but just comparing him straight up with Quentin Johnston, like the ceiling of Quentin Johnston is incredible, but like, JSN is such a safer bet.
Oh yeah,
and let's compare him with Jordan Addison. Addison's lack of size as the predominant slot receiver it was what scares you off. Like, JSN's very safe. JSN's one of the safest players in this class. I'm gonna say it right now.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Second
in this group is really interesting though.
I had trouble kind of stacking this. I don't know if it's just. He has so much love in our hearts, AJ. Dante Demas.
Yeah. But I still think people are sleeping on Demas. And obviously, after the injury, there's some reason to, but...
I had trouble stacking Demas, his teammate Rakeem Jarrett, and Penn State's Parker Washington. I think those guys are all in the tier below JSN. So Demas is like listed at 6'4", 215. He's an X, like a big outside X, but his route running ability at that size is I think it's rare. Like, his ability to sink his hips, his ability to kind of stop on a dime, his ability to explode out of cuts. Like, you don't normally see that from those X types of receivers. And prior to the injury last year, he was unstoppable.
I think prior to the injury, he was trending on being like a safe day two pick. Like especially if he goes and does well in the combine. You know what I mean? Like think how Christian Watson rose, right? And that's obviously just because freak athleticism and the combine, the Senior Bowl. But Demas' tape is better. You know what I mean? And the season he was having was freaky.
Yeah, and so, and obviously with like kind of the emergence of Rakeem Jarrett, and they brought in Jacob Copeland from Florida, and he's an interesting day three option too. Like, it's not like Demas is going to be blanketed, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they have so much talent everywhere, and I think he's just, you can't teach that combo of route running at that size, the sizing route running combo.
Like, I'll also say something else you can't teach. It seems like he's got that dog in him.
Exactly.
He really does.
Now with Rakeem Jarrett, who's more of this kind of move-around player, they motion him a ton. He plays out of the slot. He plays some Z. He's a former five-star, and you can see that. his yak ability, he just outruns everyone once the ball's in his hand. And he makes some jaw-dropping plays. Like, he has great body control. For him to kind of take that level up is just to see him run more routes. They just kind of only have him run, like, screens, curls, posts. There's not a lot going on there. And it makes sense because they just want to get the ball in his hand because he could be he's a touchdown once the ball is in his hand. As a freshman against Penn State, he had two different plays that were like 40-plus yards where he just outran everyone. And he's a guy who's really set, I think, to explode this season. He had 800 yards, I think, last year. But he has, like, the talent to be one of the best receivers in this class.
Yeah, no, definitely. And yeah, like you said, the five-star pedigree. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, move that ball around with Demas, him, and like you alluded to earlier, Jacob Copeland.
And then Parker Washington, the Penn State receiver, because they always got one. He's 5'10", 215. He's built like a running back. He looks like kind of Golden Tate. He's another yak guy, but he does a really good job, not to the same level as JSN, but just working through holes or working through zone coverage, finding holes, and just getting open for his quarterback. And then once the ball's in his hand, he's a yak guy. Another guy who I worry kind of what his speed and ability to separate deep is like. But he does a really good job winning combat catches. But my main questions are, if he's not a great route runner and he doesn't have the kind of the juice, that's always a concern for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. So you said these three guys are like in the same tier for you, but like what type of draft grade around you got him on right now?
I think all three of those guys have top 100 potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jarrett of those three could be maybe work his way legit into the first round just mm-hmm. because he's got freaky traits. But yeah, Demas and Washington are top 100 type guys.
Can I guess your next couple guys?
Sure.
I think it's the Bells.
It is.
Yeah.
Ronnie Bell, we just need to see him get healthy. He's like Sterling Shepherd-y.
I love Ronnie Bell, man. Like,
he's good at everything.
He is. And
Chris Ottman Bell's like plays so much bigger than he is. Yep. He's like a power forward out there. He reminds me of Quincy Enunwa. And he just wins every 50-50 ball. So I think both those guys are interesting. Both of them have dealt with the kind of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius Johnson, I think, is really interesting mm-hmm. at Michigan, who's big athlete, but just so raw. Copeland, who I mentioned earlier, is a nice combo of ball tracking skills and speed as like a Z, and I'm interested to see him with Maryland. I'm just powering through the rest of these guys. Tinsley comes over from Western Kentucky, and he put up huge numbers there. I didn't love his tape all that much. I thought he'd be more of a route runner, but he wasn't. Jaden Reed's really exciting player, but he had a lot of drops. One guy who I didn't watch, but I kept noticing on just when I was watching games that involved Illinois, Isaiah Williams, their former quarterbacks, just really exciting.
Isn't it weird to, you know, talk Big Ten skill positions and the receivers are the fucking star and depth of the show?
Yeah, for real. And the tight ends aren't too bad either.
Sammy Laporta, your top guy?
Yeah, he's just a nice, just really good ball skills, really smooth for a tight end, runs solid routes. I'd like to see him be better as a blocker.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he got a lot better as the year went on last year, too. Yeah, or from the year prior, yeah.
Yeah, they move around a lot, too. Like, he'll play inline slot, H-back, fullback. But yeah, he's like a, right now, a mid-day three type of tight end. As is Michigan's Eric All, who... That's a guy I think I'm excited about because he blocks well and he plays all over the formation.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's a pretty good athlete too.
Yeah, speaking of guys that made huge jumps, remember like they had the big hype for him and it's like he did fuck all that year after, and then last year he put together a really good season.
Mm-hmm. So he's both those guys look like mid-day two or day three guys. I think Luke Schoenmaker, if you just want a true blocking tight end, that guy's the guy.
And there's been so many of them drafted from Michigan.
That I think is the best blocking tight end in the draft. so far, at least.
Of course he is.
6'6", 250, plays inline and fullback, which helps Eric Ault get to do more interesting things. Mm-hmm. And just such a good blocker. They just, like, have him come across and crack heads, like, on outside zone, like, all the time.
You don't want to admit how much you enjoy watching that Michigan running game, eh?
I really liked him. He's the best offensive lineman, too. Canadian Theo Johnson's a former big recruit.
Yeah.
He's at Penn State. He's an interesting guy. Just has, like, hasn't got a ton of playing time yet. Brevin Spanford at Minnesota is huge, but they really need to teach him how to block, but he's really big and athletic. Payne Durham's exactly what you think he is. And Daniel Barker seemed very small.
I wonder what's, like, Theo Johnson, who was such a big recruit and was, like, one of the biggest ones to ever come out of Canada and Ontario. It's going to be fun if he gets the chance.
He should. He
should, yeah.
They just didn't use him a ton, but, like, he looked good when they did.
Almost surprised he hasn't transferred already.
He's a better blocker than I thought he'd be, too.
Oh, yeah. I haven't actually sat down and watched him, but...
I thought he was just going to be a big athlete, but no, he's, like, blocking pretty well. But, yeah. The offensive line and the receivers are what gets you going in this group. And looking at the tackles, it's just the Skoronski, Jalen Duncan, and Paris Johnson are maybe the three best tackles in the class.
Yeah.
They're all in the Big Ten. Like, Skoronski is so much like what Rashawn Slater was. He's just
it's
so
weird.
Balanced.
It's weird.
He's so just technically sound. He's a solid athlete. Like, he's... His ability and pass protection is just, like, the base and the feet. Like, everything is just on point. Everything's on time. If you're, like, to look at one thing, he kind of shoots his hands a little wide, which it doesn't get him in trouble very often because he's, like, not out of position any other way. He's got a good anchor. But, yeah, like, I don't know. There's not really a lot to be worried about with him. I mean, I guess his lack of length, but that was, we said the same thing about Rashawn.
It's the same, yeah, it really is. And I like, he gets people moving in the run too. It's not like he's
he's just strong power at the point of attack too. He's almost not exciting because he's just very good and very calm. The player I found to be super exciting is Jalen Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
He is massive and he is a freaking athlete. He's twitched. 6'6", 320, just moves so much better than I thought he was gonna. Both like in pass protection, like reaching his landmarks, but like getting up on the second level too. He'll take you for a ride. I think he's a first round pick. I have him over Paris Johnson.
Yeah, no, I think that's gonna be common. The further we get into this draft, into the college football season, this draft process.
And, like, part of that with, like, Paris Johnson, it's more projecting. He played right guard last year.
Yeah.
Where I'm seeing Duncan just dominate as a left tackle. And, like, I don't have, like, Johnson that far behind or anything. But, I don't know. Duncan's just – he is a beast. That's not very good analysis, but it's true, AJ.
What's Paris Johnson then?
Paris Johnson is just a boatload of potential. Like, he is really athletic. He's got really good feet. Like, now this is playing guard, but he's got really good feet and really good lateral agility. The thing that kind of has me put him third is he can get a little high, and his hands aren't the best. He needs to get stronger, I think, too. He might be the best athlete of the three, but I think he struggles to kind of drive guys off the ball the most and can struggle with power and pass protection the most. I'm excited to see him play left tackle because I think he's a lot better than Nicolas Petitfrère.
I think so too. Grade wise, like, do you have a first on any of these guys yet?
Skoronski and Duncan.
Then a second on Paris Johnson?
Yeah.
And then who's in your next tier here? Because it's fucking
deep. Just talking
deep
tackles. I kind of split it. So just talking tackles. DeJuan Jones comes in next. He's 6'8", 360.
Yeah, he's fucking huge.
Him and Paris Johnson are a really fun combo at tackle. He is Orlando Brown, Trent Brownie, more Trent Brown, just true power. It plays through the whistle and a little laborsome at that size. Can kind of be slow with his feet and be a little wonky and play a little high. Like, you can get under him. But in a power scheme, I think he's a starting right tackle.
Yeah, no, I mean, just the sheer size. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's so many of these just big boys that get drafted and, like, all the concerns you usually have for a big guy, like that stuff doesn't really get exposed too much in the NFL, typically. Like, unless they're, like, really – like, when they're a higher-level, you know, prospect, not when they're, you know, a low-level prospect, right?
Yeah. He's kind of, like, right now in, like, the fifth-round range.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, it's – Skronsky, Duncan, Johnson are, like, going to be first-round picks. And it's kind of DeJuan Jones. And then the guy I'm really excited about, he started one game in his career at Penn State, and I watched it. It's Arkansas in the bowl game. Olumiyiwa, I'm saying this so wrong, Fashanu, he looks like an NFL tackle right now. He is so long and so twitchy, and I just couldn't believe how good his feet were. And he's playing an SEC team. I think because Rasheed Walker opted out of the bowl game, he started left tackle. And I couldn't believe how well he moved and how good his feet were for a guy who hadn't started a game in the Big Ten yet. So he's a guy I think is going to be a huge riser.
Maybe Rasheed Walker shouldn't have opted out of that game.
Amen. I didn't love Ryan Hayes, your boy at Michigan. He is really lungy and pass protect. Maybe he's a guard.
Mm-hmm.
He just, like, he's very lungy and he's very high and he's very just wonky with his base. Good run blocker, though.
But yeah.
Really good power run blocker.
Yeah.
But yeah, the pass protection, Wisconsin was giving him fits.
Yeah, no, he's not great in pass pro, but yeah, just the. I think that's fair, though. Just kick him inside. I think you got a really good guard, or solid guard, I guess.
Yeah. Should I flip to the IOLs?
Yeah, go.
Joe Tippmann at Wisconsin is going to be a big riser. 6'6 center who just is unbelievable in space. He is so good on the pull. They pull him a ton because he's just so good at it. And that length and that athleticism.
Yeah.
I think he was on the freaks list, too. He's really exciting. To maybe reach that next level, he's got to play with better leverage, which impacts his anchor. But man, the length, he kind of just like it, in pass protection, he plays high and his hand placement's not great, but he's also just so long and athletic, it doesn't get to him that much. But he's a really, I think, high ceiling type of center prospect.
Is your top center, like pure center, so far?
Is he?
No. I feel like the center class hasn't been that good. Oh, so.
All the best interior line in the Big Ten are centers.
Yeah, well, we've got the Michigan guy, the Virginia transfer. Is he your next guy? Olubatami?
No. He's my last guy.
Fuck you.
Sorry. John Michael Schmitz, if you want just a true gritty power run-blocking center, he's the SOB of the group. He's putting guys in the dirt. He's not a great athlete, but in a power scheme, I think gets job done. 6'4", 320. Really good drive off the ball. And really good hand strength. Juice Scruggs at Penn State. I watched him play right guard and then move to center mid-game against Michigan and do a really good job. He is super great, just really fast out of his stance.
Mm-hmm.
Plays with very good leverage. I think he's moving full-time center this year. And he's really good in pass protection. Just really, really good balance, bend, and lateral quickness.
Plus, that's a fucking IOL number one name.
Yeah. Luke Weipler at Ohio State's pretty good, too.
Yeah, of course he is.
But your guy, the Remington finalist, I was kind of disappointed. He's more of an IQ guy. Like,
yeah.
He's going to take command of the offensive line, but he wasn't nearly... The two things, he wasn't as good at reaching the second level as I was hoping, and he didn't have that kind of tone setter in him, but he's really technically sound, like very good feet, very good bend, very good hand placement.
I think he's more like just, you know, a day three safer center. I don't think he's going to be like a big riser. I think he's just a good football player.
Yeah. Flip the defense?
Yeah, I mean, as a whole, I think we talked about it, but the defense is not that exciting. It really isn't. I mean, like, I have a good amount of draftable grades at every position, but it's like, so if we want to start on the inside, My top guy ended up being Keanu Benton from Wisconsin.
Same.
Who, just because, like, he's 6'4", 312, and he's, like, he's got the biggest flashes. Like, there's sometimes, like, just big ol' get off. It's a little inconsistent, but it's there. And, you know, with that size, the power that he can flash, the consistent motor, I think that's all really impressive. I don't think, like, I know some people, like, really love him. I don't know if he's going to be, like, he can put it all together and be a big riser. But, like, I got, like, you know, like, a fifth-round grade on him right now.
I'm in the fourth range. I think he's, like, he's got the makings of an impact, like, one tech.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, concerning was, like, well, I mean, it's hard not to, but, like, I threw in the Iowa game, and, like, Linderbaum kind of kicked his ass. Like, put him in the dirt in the pass, and was just consistently moving him in the run, and... I mean, like, yeah. That's double teams. But, like, and that's Tyler Linderbaum. But, yeah. I think he's just got, like, his hands got to get better. Like, he's a battler with them, but they're, like, just flailing.
Yeah, I think, because, yeah, you're right in that, like, the power, the size, the athleticism at that size, it's all there. But, yeah, he hasn't unlocked his hands. He's not as good at power rushing as I'd hope.
Yeah, he really isn't. Next up, like, I kind of just bought the potential with Mazi Smith, who I got the next guy here. Obviously, number one on the freaks list. You see that power, man. Like, he gets in tight. Like, he doesn't even, like, use length. He just gets in tight and just moves guys. Like, they're fucking sleds. And I just think, like, he plays, like, that power and, like, the impressive balance that he plays with. Like, it's really impressive. And then, like, you know, the motor's really good. And then, like, you see that glimpses of the freaky quickness and strength. And I don't know, like, I think, like, if you take him, like, I got a fifth on him, too. If he doesn't, like, get a big leap, like, I think you can take him and, like, he'll be, like, a solid rotation guy, but, like, the potential's all there. I think he's just kind of, like, you know, he doesn't get off the line that good. His field awareness, like, he just kind of,
He's super raw.
He is super raw.
337-pound athletic freak show.
So can I say something?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
The offensive line guy in me... I wish he was a guard. I think, like, all the pieces are there to be, like, a fucking Pro Bowl guard. Or, like, an all-pro guard. Sick. Am I wrong? At 6'3", 305, no. Just that tightness, that quickness. I'm like, this guy should have been off the lineman. I think, like, he could be, like, a first-round pick as off the lineman. If he played it his whole career. But just irregardless, like, the potential's all there on defense.
I feel like he'd be a freak show.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You give Harbaugh a call?
I should. I mean, that guy's direct line, but... Trying to take kids off my hands.
Yeah. I think with both those guys, like, the path is there for them to be
like top 100
types.
Yeah.
But they're not quite there. Benton's a safer bet. Mazi Smith got the kind of bigger ceiling.
So my next... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Who's your next guy? Yeah.
So I think guy like that was, like, the biggest, most pleasant surprise here that, like, it's actually a ton of fun. Is Jacob Slade from Michigan State?
The Sladester.
He's 6'4", 315. And he's got, like, that fucking bull in a china shop power. I'm like, yeah, this is my guy. Great motor, good get off. Like stays nice and low. And it's got, like, pretty good power. Like, quick shedding and stacking, making the tackle. And, like, just, like, strong at the point. Like, he's making those, you know, holding off the offensive lineman and making those one-arm tackles in the hole. I'm like, yeah, this is a guy. I think Jacob Slade's really good. He's not going to be, like, a big-time pass rusher. He kind of gave me, like, Harrison Phillips vibes, kind of. Like, that, just that type of dude. I like Slade a lot. I think he's pretty interesting. Like, again, like, I got a six-round grade on him, but he's fun.
Is he the most productive, too?
Yeah, I think he is. He's got a lot of tackles.
What did you think of P.J. Mustipher?
I also have a six on him. I don't think he's, like...
Me too.
Anything, like, special, but, like...
I think he's a kind of a brawler. I like just...
Yeah.
It doesn't always work, but he uses his hands.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like...
And he gets off the snap pretty well for a big guy.
So, I've never seen anyone line up that close to the ball as he does. I think against Auburn, he lined up in the neutral zone 10 times, but never got called for it. But, like, you know, 6'4", 324, he's, like, got that strong build and some quickness to that size. And, like, disruptive traits are there.
Nose tackles.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, he's got that initial pop too. There's definitely something with Tim Mustipher, but I don't know where it is yet.
Do you like any of the RDLs?
Yeah, I think there's a couple draftable guys. I don't mind Vincent at Ohio State.
Yeah, he's a big recruit who's just never put it all together.
Yeah, and
he's
6'1",
been hurt.
Yeah, 6'1", 290-ish. He's got, like, kind of, like, I don't know. He's interesting. Yeah, it's, like, you know, he can get kind of stuck and, like, ends up on the ground a lot. But, like, the piece are there. Like, a solid get-off. Like, nice reactive strength, I like to call it. Just, like, when someone comes at him, like, he can move some guys. He's got that quickness, as you expect with a defensive lineman under 300 pounds. Pad level's okay. Like, he doesn't get moved too much. And he shows some, like slipperiness. So I think, like, he could be – there's potential there. I don't know if he's going to be a riser, but some of the traits are there. Who else? His teammate Cage isn't bad. I think he's a kind of like a late day three guy, but like just like a rotation guy with like a, you know, just like a solid kind of like angle attacker, kind of G'd up some space. Yeah, no one like that really. Like, I was really hoping for Marvin Massey Smith, but I think he should be offensive line, interior offensive line one. So whatever.
Agreed. With the edge group, I feel like the Big Ten always has an edge, but not really this year.
No, not at all. I think that
is O'Shane Mathis your one?
He's my number one. I got a fourth like, round grade on him.
Yeah, okay, me too. We're right in the same ballpark. And like with him, he's got a great first step. He's well built, good length, got some speed off the edge, can bend a bit.
Yeah,
plays really hard and ferociously. Sets a pretty strong edge too. Like, he's a very solid football player with the athletic upside.
Yep,
but he's. I think like nowhere near first round type of guy.
No, I don't think so. Because like, there's not too many counters, and like, I don't know. He's got some bend, but like, he's a little bit stiff. If that makes sense, like, just like, he doesn't flatten in that pocket too well, and like, but I don't know. He's good. I think he's solid, and I think like, I don't know if he's gonna get top 100, but like, early day three, I kind of think is safe. I don't know, because like, he's like that limber, kind of like smooth athlete, like good motor, like you said. But like, I think Skoronski kind of handled him easy just watching live.
Hey, well, this is off 2021. You're not allowed to use that game yet.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I think like, yeah, I agree with you. More solid than like anything big, flashy. You know.
Yeah. What do you think of Zach Harrison?
He's my fourth guy. I got a 6th round grade on him.
Oh, okay. I mean. He looks the part, doesn't he? He looks damn good.
Fucking does look the part at 6'6", 266.
I'm excited to see what happens. Like, he is, from what I understand, not starting is going to be more of the third guy. Like, Jack Sawyer and JT, they're 5-stars who are true sophomores, are going to be the starting guys. So I'm interested to see him more in that, like, kind of what we've seen from past Ohio State third guys, like Jonathan Cooper. Kind of spelling those guys, playing some inside on passing downs. Like, I think what the most interesting thing about Zach Harrison is he'll play some 3-tech.
Yeah.
And like, he is a ball of size and athleticism that just hasn't put everything together yet. Like, you see he uses his hands sometimes pretty well, but he's also kind of a stiff guy. Like, he doesn't
he's stiff
that well. So I'm just uncertain of what to do with him.
I think his like, I think that role is kind of good because I think I can see him as, like, that, you know, run-stopping edge. Because I think he sets a pretty good edge. You know, it flashes some power in the run, too. Like, I don't know. But then again, I throw in the – I don't know, man. People are still hyping him. It's weird. Because, like, you throw in the Minnesota game, and fucking Kokeeft is giving him the business. Like, just putting him in the dirt. So. I'm like – Yeah, I'm like, well, okay. Well, I don't know. Like, I think, like, late day three, you bet on that size, the pedigree. And I think he's a decent run stopper. So,
Do you like anybody else here?
I got a couple guys in like the 5th, 6th round in between Harrison and O'Shane, but it's kind of both. I'm just betting on the freaks here. Pure swinging. Julius Welschkoff, like at 6'6", 285, top 10 on the freaks list. I don't want to search Turkish get up on Urban Dictionary, but apparently he's really good at that. But, like, I don't know, man. That size, the cut body he's got.
I saw him do it. It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. the freaky weight room stuff. He's an ex-skier. Like, and you can see that lower body flexibility on tape. Like, you see the glimpses, the little itty-bitty glimpses of the athleticism and the explosion. But, like, he's so fucking raw. He's so fucking raw, and that body's still coming along. But, like, there's something there. I definitely think there's something there. Also, I think there's something there with Adetomiwa Adebare from Northwestern. Yeah, who's
I like him.
Yeah, I like him too. I got them like in the same neck and neck. I just put the Michigan guy because he's a Michigan guy. He's 6'2", 280. It's kind of like wide and stocky, but
he's athletic.
He's really athletic. So I'm like flashing.
He was on the freaks list.
He was, yeah. I think like 30-something around there. Saw some glimpses against Nebraska. And I think you throw on the tape and you see the pop in his hands right away. He's got good get-off. The quickness is there. Really good motor. Like he's just kind of like winning with strength. His hands need a lot of work, but the traits are there. I think he's
yeah. The speed, the power potential of him, it's not always there. It's really exciting. He kicks inside and he sets a strong edge. It's just his get off and his
yeah.
natural leverage, which creates power. It's really interesting. Can we just go back to your Turkish get up guy for a sec?
Yeah, Julius Welskov.
Yeah, he's not on the too deep of Michigan's depth chart that Harbaugh said the other day.
You trust Harbaugh.
I mean, Harbaugh hasn't released a depth chart before week one since 2016, I read. But he read through his depth chart the other day, apparently, and he wasn't on it. So
that's weird. That's weird.
It's weird. You want to move to linebackers?
Yeah, so I think the top player probably in this group is a linebacker, maybe?
Nick Herbig's my number one defensive player in the conference.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay. But he's technically a 228-pound edge rusher.
Yeah. Look, the big question is, what are you going to do with him? Because he's playing edge full-time at that size, but he's fucking good. He's fucking good. I feel like I didn't appreciate him watching Wisconsin live last year.
Me either. He is, like, wicked. He's playing in another speed. And yeah. he uses his hands. Like, I saw him pull off like a cross chop rip. Yeah. Like, he knows how to pass rush.
Yep.
And then, like, because, like, Wisconsin plays that 3-4 where they, like, drop their edges all the time, you see him play in space and he's natural.
Yeah.
Like, he looks good. Like, sometimes he's covering the flats and he looks good. So I think he's easier to project to an off ball linebacker role than some of the tweeners we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, all I kept thinking was, you like Zach Bond, dude. Like, is he Zach Bond again? Like, I think he's a lot better than Zach Bond was, but it was a similar projection. I don't know. I'm hung up on it, but he's also my highest rated defense player in the conference.
Me too. I agree. Like, the potential's all fucking there. Like, I think he's a little awkward dropping his own. Like, just like the feel, but the athletic chops are fucking there. Like, the movement looks really good. So, yeah, I totally agree. Like, maybe more like Hassan Reddick. But, like, the pass rush ability is fucked. Like, the pop in his hands is crazy. He does not let himself get blocked. Like, he gets on a block and he's fucking off it. Like, I better than maybe anyone in this class fighting fucking just off blocks.
So, like, is there any way we can see him playing? Like, if he went to the right team, can we have him pass rush on third down? Like, that's what you want to do.
I would hope. But, man, like, the quickness, and, like, I think he's just a super balanced guy. I think that shows up every single snap. Plays with good leverage. Like, nice move, like, swipes. Then the athleticism to, like, fucking flatten and finish. Like, I don't know, man. He's really good. He's really good. It's just, and like you already said, like, plays at a different fucking speed with his hair on fire. Like, he's the top guy on the defense, I think. Joey Porter's next, but we'll get there in a second. But, like, it's just, like, what do we do? But I think that's what you do. You move him to off ball, and you pass. You rush him. You let him rush the passer on third downs.
Agreed. More of a true off ball linebacker. Is Jack Campbell your number two?
Yeah, he's my number two. I got like a fourth or fifth round grade. Just solid. You know, high end instincts. Very few false steps. Reading keys every down really well. And you tie that in with like really a high end motor. No, just great. Long. Really long. He's 6'4", 250, like a prototype size. Great awareness on the field. Like, he's just in coverage, he's going to get exposed, I think, at the next level. Like, the lack of athleticism, like, just might turn. I think he's a plus coverage linebacker in college, but I think that's probably going to be a negative in the NFL because, like, he's just never out of position, and he's just really technical in coverage, and he's good at it.
And he's got those long arms.
And the length, yeah. But I think that's going to be. You know, when you're covering NFL tight ends and slots, that's not going to be a thing. Because he's an athlete. And, like, really, like, you know what? I think, like, the big, like, disappointment is for a guy that's like him is, like, he's not, like, really good at getting off blocks.
No, he's not as good as you'd think for a guy who
like lives on that. Yeah, and the length. Yeah. So yeah, I think he's like, I think fourth, fifth, you're going to come in and he's going to be like, you know, just a solid linebacker. There's a lot of linebackers in this group, but no one else like that really excites me. A couple guys I could see getting drafted.
I was going to say, I find Justin Jacobs, my next guy, Iowa linebacker, he's really interesting because of the size, and he's playing this overhang type role.
Yeah, he's my next guy, and I think he's definitely the next most interesting guy.
Do you have a – like, I don't have a draftable. I just think he's interesting.
Yeah, I got a 6 on him. Like, because 6'4", 235, he's long. Yeah, like you said, he's playing overhang. He's matching up, like, on tight ends and slots. Looks good in coverage, tight end manned, making some plays on the ball. And he can thump a bit. Like, he can hit. It's just, like, you don't – he's a sub linebacker. You don't see him against the run too much. But, you know, and, like, you know, they have linebackers there. But maybe not this year, next year. Like, if he puts it all together, I think he could be something.
Anyone else? Or do you want to move to corner?
I'll throw one more. That's kind of fun. Mariano Sorimarin from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That's a special teams linebacker. Like, solid speed, great motor, good recognition, good instincts. I think he's just a special teams guy.
Love that. All right, now time to talk about the guy we mentioned off the top, Jay Porter, number one corner in the conference.
Yeah, he definitely is. I got him, like, just behind Herbig. Like, I got third, fourth round. Seen first-round mocks, but I don't think he's there. First and foremost, he's fucking grabby. He's so grabby.
I think I read the stat. He had, like,
10 penalty flags.
Yeah.
And 5 PBUs, I think. So,
yeah,
that's not good. That's not good. But at 6'2", 200, the length... He's such a, like, a springy mover. He's a good mover. You know, physical versus the run, too. I love that. He's busting through wide receiver blocks. He uses that size. We get some of these longer guys that are timid. He's not. He plays his ass off. Physical off the line. And, like, smooth hips for a guy his size. Like, sticky.
Yeah.
All the traits are there.
I couldn't believe how fluid his hips were for a corner as physical and long as he is. Now, the feet kind of concern me. Like, he can be a little full steppy.
Double moves get him.
Yeah, I think he's a lot better, or not a lot better, but more natural as a zone guy, which, I mean, most of the NFL is playing zone all the time anyway.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
So it's, like, not a bad thing. But, I think he's more of a third-round type of player right now than that first-round
stuff. Yeah, agreed. After that, though, I really liked Cameron Brown at Ohio State.
If he can just stay healthy.
He's just, like, to me, he's just well-rounded. 6'1", 194, check. Good eyes in zone. Good route recognition. Like, clean in phase. Like good makeup speed. Like, not big-time speed or anything. Balance, patient feet. I think this is a guy, like you said, if he can stay healthy, like, you know, you're getting him in that fourth, fifth. I don't know how much he can rise, but, like, Ohio State pedigree is there.
He was a big recruit, too. He's just literally just never healthy.
Yeah, but I don't think I can see that, like... You know, like okay, this is a 5-star, like explosive blowout traits, but like just a damn good football player. And
I think he's very technically sound, like a press man guy. Like his feet are really good. He's really patient. I think he's poised to be like a nice senior riser.
Agreed. I totally agree. I think those are the top two guys. After that, I'm going back to another Saturday star who had an interception against Wyoming. Devin Witherspoon. I like Witherspoon at Illinois.
He's so much more feisty than I was expecting.
Yeah, he's feisty as fuck.
He's got some MF-er in him.
He does, yeah. And good instincts. You see the ball skills on display with the interception and, like, 40-yard return against Wyoming. Got some, like, click and close to him. Like, a good tackler, like you said, the feistiness. But I think, like, overall speed, eh. Like, I kind of, like, when he tries to be physical off the line, he can fluff his jam a bit. Isn't super smooth, but, like, you know, that... mid-late day three guy. I think that's something to keep an eye on.
And is Riley Moss your number one player?
No, but I do like Riley Moss. I like Riley Moss.
Riley Moss is on the freaks list. Riley Moss is, I think he's pretty good. I wonder if moving him to safety.
I think the same thing. I think he's the same
just not
thing.
Great. He's not very good in man coverage, I found. Like, his hips aren't overly fluid and his feet are... just not great, but
yeah, like
moving back to safety, I think that's kind of interesting.
I think he's like that safety nickel hybrid. I think that's kind of his kind of thing. Yeah, I got like a late day three on him. In between though, because he wasn't my next guy, but the guy after, I like Corey Trice because he's 6'3", 217.
He's just always hurt, but more than Cam Brown.
Yeah, missed like almost all of the season last year with a knee injury.
He's played like 15 games in 4 years or something.
Mm-hmm. But he's big and like. like smooth feet and hips for a guy his size. Like, he's got some speed to him. He's physical in the press. Yeah, it's just the injuries. The injuries are the big knock for Trice, but puts a healthy year together. You could see him being a riser. After that, like, I don't know. Tywan Mullen's okay, but, you know, not never the hype. And that's really – no one else that really got me excited.
He's also always hurt.
He is, big time.
Yeah, I think Corey Trice is, like, of these guys, just I want to see him play.
Yeah.
Because he's just so big.
Yeah. Yeah, Trace is fun.
I didn't love the safety group. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I think there's some like decent ball players, but like no one got me excited. I think
I'll tell you the guy who I think is the most interesting. I think the Ohio State guys are all the most interesting.
My top two safeties are the Ohio State guys. And I think the most interesting is Josh Proctor.
Okay, I think the most interesting is Ronnie Hickman.
So, okay, if now, we start with Hickman.
You just like single high guys.
Yeah, okay, look, of course I do. He's single high and he's 6'2". 200, he's like long and strong and like loose hips for that size. You see some downhill explosion, like physical tackler, reading the run keys really well, quick feet. Got season ending leg injury versus Oregon last year, which hurts. Like I think he's got to clean up a lot as a tackler, and he's kind of like a little indecisive at times, but I think he's got the potential to be the top safety in this conference. And then right behind him, I got Ronnie Hickman. Yeah,
the Rocket. Ronnie Hickman, more of that box type.
Yeah, he's dangerous as fuck around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he's a really fun player. I think he's just poised for a big, big leap this year. And I like the way those two contrast each other. And then with Jim Knowles coming in too.
Yeah.
And bringing Tanner McAllister, who I think I forgot to put on our list, but brought him with him from Ohio State. And he's more of a nickel. So you're getting the single high with Proctor, getting the box man with Hickman, and with Proctor or and with McAllister, you're getting the like just high IQ nickel guy who puts everyone in the right place, runs the defense. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be a really fun safety trio.
Yeah, it's a good combination because like we said, Hickman's like, you know, he's constantly slipping blocks, making plays down low, just always looking like he's a really good run defender. He's rock solid tackler, hits hard, like the quickness, like he's got that reactive quickness, like, you know, go from like, you know, a hole to hole, like containing the run. And I think like watching him early in the season, he's just down around the line of scrimmage because Proctor's playing that single high. But like later in the season, they kind of got him more in that two high looks. And I think you saw a little bit more of his cover shots. I just want to see him in like, you know, like just true coverage more often. But like too much like getting over aggressive coming downhill and putting himself like big time out of position, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Excluding the Ohio State guys, do you like who's kind of next for you? There's a guy I will say I think has potential.
Yeah, I think there's a couple like day three guys. My next guy is Jair Brown from Penn State.
I found like he's very sporadic. Like he's athletic. You can see the range. But he just like kind of his pedal's really high.
Yeah.
And he kind of seems like he doesn't know where to be sometimes, but then he makes a big play.
Yeah.
He's also a JUCO guy, and, like, I think this is his first year, like, actually playing. So he's got potential for sure.
Yeah, good length. Like, 5'11", 210, well-built, good length, solid athlete. His feet in, like, in a vacuum are solid, I think. Yeah, like, he's not the loosest athlete or anything, and, like... Like more of a smooth mover than a explosive guy, but no, I think there's some potential there. Who's your like guy that you really think could be a dude?
RJ Moten, the Michigan guy. That's
my next guy. Yeah, I mean.
So.
Go ahead.
Like he's 6'2", 223.
But he carries it really well. I thought.
He hasn't been like a full time starter.
Yeah.
But he like he moves really well. He doesn't look as big as he is, and he's really aggressive. So I just.
Yeah.
I think. A guy who could take a big leap as a junior.
It's like solid tackler. He's going to run the alley. Aggressive coming to the backfield. No, I think that's a good one. The rest of the guys are like just kind of like there's a lot of like solid like all right safeties. Like
I got a bunch of like priority UDFAs.
Yeah, like Kayvon Merriweather's solid at Iowa. Good size. You know, Newbin is big too. Just kind of solid. Like Xavier Henderson's like just a glorified linebacker, but he's good at it. You know, like, there's a bunch of guys that are just, like, solid safeties, but, like, nothing that's going to get me excited. That's why I think Proctor's got the most upside.
Yeah, Proctor and Hickman are definitely the most interesting. All right, you want to get on to the awards?
Yeah. Offensive player
who's
of the
Ohio
year.
Ohio State going to be beating?
Okay. So I'm going to go full reverse jinx season. I'm going to go Ohio State winning the Big Ten. Congratulations, Rob. Beating the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, the Wisconsin should be back in this thing with Braylon Allen.
Just feeding him from the start.
Good offensive line. Yeah, feeding him from the start. Like Graham Mertz just turned the ball over less, and then their defense has been very good under Jim Leonard. Yeah. They've got the best defensive player in the conference.
Yeah, who I picked for defensive player of the year in Herbig.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, Herbig defensive player of the year, Stroud offensive player of the year.
Yeah, kind of clear cut guys here.
All right. Any guess for town of the week?
I'm going to say it is Madison. Such
a bad guess.
We've just like... No, it's Piscataway.
No, that's a terrible guess.
Okay, what is it?
It's College Park, Maryland.
Ooh, okay. This is a good pick because I don't know that much about College Park.
That's why I picked it. Guess what? There's not that much to know.
Fuck.
This was... By far, like, every TripAdvisor list where I do my things to do in the town, every TripAdvisor list, 3 pages. College Parks they had 16 options. Every other one has 50. Like, there's nothing to do in College Park.
Gotta be some crab cakes, though, right?
No.
They don't got no crab cakes in College Park?
I don't know. It wasn't on TripAdvisor. Oh, I went to, man. Like, normally I just go to TripAdvisor. For this one, I went to, like, 7 different sites trying to find more, and I couldn't. So yeah, College Park, Maryland, home to the Maryland Terrapins, who play at Capital One Field at Maryland Stadium, which opened in 1950 with a capacity of 51,802. The population of College Park, 32,221 as of 2020. Now, I don't know if they have like a acting school at Maryland, but there was like a lot of people involved in the, arts from the University of Maryland. Some notable alumni. Larry David.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah, I thought you would, but... Beth McCarthy Miller, who was a director on SNL from, like, 95 to 06, and then 30 Rock's director.
So every SNL alum went to Maryland, is what I'm hearing?
Pretty much. Jim Henson, the creator of the Muppets, went there.
Okay, and I want to say that the Terrapin was the inspiration for the Muppets.
Bam. Brett Cecil, of course.
The goat, yeah.
The late, great Len Bias.
Of course.
And Sean Merriman.
Lights out, baby.
Remember when Lights Out had, like, the most sacks ever for the first 3 years of his career and then, like, never had a sack again?
Sean Merriman is, like, a fucking elite. I just wish people, like, remembered and appreciated it more.
Yeah, but he had like 17 sacks his second year in the league.
That's ridiculous.
Notable people from College Park, AJ, I kid you not, there are none. The Wikipedia page normally has like a ton of options. This one had 9. I looked at all their Wikipedias. I couldn't figure out who any of these people were.
Like politicians or something?
Like, not even that.
Just like, you know what, random, you know what I think? Wikipedias. I think College Park is the best kept secret in America. That's what I'm thinking. I think whoever's there keeps their mouth shut, stays there, and they love it.
I have a question for you.
Please, go ahead.
You're going to have to pick between some cities you love, though.
Okay.
What is the best place? College Park, College Station, or University Park?
College Park, baby.
Amen. College Station's the worst.
Oh, for sure. I'm at State College.
But where's State College again?
It's Penn State, isn't it?
Isn't Penn State... I don't know. I thought Penn State was University Park.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a question for somebody else. No, you're right. State College.
University Park is another place.
All right. Well, cool. Things to do in College Park. And this is a really pathetic list. But that's not to say you shouldn't visit. I'm sure it's great there. AMF College Park Lanes, Lake Artemisia, mm-hmm. Yep, sure. C Depot, which is a CD Depot, but it's spelled C Depot. Pretty cool. The UMD Observatory, if you're into space, I'm not. The College Park Aviation Museum, if you're into planes, which I'm not. The Barking Dog. Woof woof.
Not woof woof. I love The Barking Dog.
The Hard Times Cafe. The Blaze Fast Fired Pizza. And of course, Bagels and Grinds.
Love me some Bagels and Grinds.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Kind of after doing my research on College Park, I thought maybe Maryland should be kicked out of the Big Ten because I feel like every other place in the Big Ten's sick.
That's a good – like, we don't know a lot about it. I think there's a good reason for it. And it, again, I'm going to go back to this best kept secret in America idea here.
I liked when I knew didn't know anything and I thought College Park could be amazing. Now I just – now I just
feel
empty inside.
Maryland's like a place that we don't know a lot about, I feel like. Like as a population.
No, definitely. Yeah, I agreed. All right, maybe we'll get Sports Drink to fly us out there. We'll do some investigative journalism.
Would love that.
So tune in next time when we break down the SEC or if we do our week one picks first. I don't remember.
We'll figure it out. We'll see. Yeah.
We'll figure it out. From College Park to College Station, we've got you covered. This is Rob Paul from Seven Rounds in Heaven reporting live.